Here's Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider. Do you believe in that, Bob, that, you know, this I don't see this as a big adjustment for Kyle Dubas. This is his guy, Sheldon Keefe.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, it's November 21st, and you've had to fire Mike Babcock and bring in your own guy. So I think there's a comfort level that the general manager would have that few other people would, for obvious reasons. But it's, you know, hey, any port in a storm, and he knows Sheldon Keefe better than anybody. And, you know, just let Sheldon do his thing. And as I say, he's probably more comfortable than anybody with the decision because ultimately, A, he made it, and B, you're right. Sheldon Keefe is very much his guy. Outside of Mike Stapleton, it's the only coach that Sheldon Keefe has ever hired. Only coach that Kyle Dubas has ever hired in his life is Sheldon Keefe. So let him loose and do his thing.
Well, I guess, and what you're saying, Noodles, is right. You know, a pivot or an adjustment would maybe be the way. You know, maybe in a year he goes, I do need a couple of guys with size.
But he's allowed to do that. That was my point. Is he's not just like he. Bob, I don't know if you heard our interview, but Hayes calls it the mic drop, where he said, I'll stake my reputation and my career,
and my job.
Yep. My job, all of this, on his philosophy. You're allowed to nip and tuck to your philosophy.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what I was pointing out, is I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that if he sees something along the way, you can make slight tweaks to strengthen your team and your organization.
Absolutely. And I mean, the wheels have fallen off here, but I mean, honestly, we debated this a little bit the other day when I was on the show, I don't think this team is substantially less tough than last year's team. I really don't. I'm not buying that Nazem Kadri was the sandpaper that is missing this year. Or that Ron Hainsey, you know, Connor Brown, whatever. I don't buy that. You know, the Leafs are built a certain way. I think they played to their strengths last year for the most part in the regular season. They still, I mean, you know, and again, results are results, and the Leafs have to live with the fact that they lost to the Bruins. But they went to Game 7 against the best team in the Eastern Conference that went to Game 7 against the St. Louis Blues. You know, they were a good hockey team last year with Mike Babcock. Now, you know, as I say, the wheels fell off here. Look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, where's their game at right now relative to last year's 130-point team? It's nowhere. And they've got the same coach, and they've got basically all the same players. So what happened? I think something similar happened to Tampa, to Toronto, to Calgary. That is, you had really successful regular season teams that had bitter, bitter disappointment in the playoffs. And this year, each of the three of them are mightily grinding the gears trying to find a new identity. But I don't know that we've got ample proof that, well, this Leaf team, it's too soft. They'll never be successful. Let's let it play out. And as you said, Noodles, and as Mike Babcock himself said, every general manager gets to hire a coach. This is the first one that Kyle Dubas has hired. He's been on the job for how long?
Dubas? Yeah, like less than 2 years.
Yeah, way less than 2 years. You know, a general manager, in terms of the measure of a general, I understand that Leaf fans are frustrated. I get that. And I'm not sitting here defending every move that Dubas has made, and I'm not sure whether it's going to work or not. I don't know. It may well be that there's too much finesse and not enough size and whatever. We're going to find out. But, you know, a year and change into your regime, and because Leaf fans are mad about how last year went and how Game 7 went the year before that and how they haven't won a cup since 1967, I get the frustration of the marketplace. But if I'm Brendan Shanahan and Larry Tannenbaum, I'm not sitting here looking at, well, if we have a bad year this year, we've got to fire the general manager at the end of the year. Furthest thing from it. People get general managers in the National Hockey League, in my view, they need 3, 4, 5 years unless things are going so horribly off the rails, and for a longer period of time than one season. And everything about the Leafs, and again, Dubas doesn't get to take credit for all this because He wasn't the general manager for the full tenure of it, but you know, they've been showing solid progression other than the fact that they've lost in the first round for each of the last 3 years. But the manner in which they lost comes into play too, and the Bruins are a bugaboo, and they'll be happy to get the Bruins in the first round this year if they make the playoffs, because right now they're in a deep hole and they might not make the playoffs. They might be sunk here because they played so many games and their point percentage is so brutal.
Bobby, how do you see the Tyson Barrie situation playing out? They're going into Colorado Saturday night, and I don't know, sometimes a guy switches teams, switches jerseys, and it just doesn't work out. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it or explain it to you. I mean, sometimes a guy goes to another team, they can't find a role, and maybe he's in a contract year. Maybe he doesn't want to be a part of this not going well and wants to display his whatever he's got to show. How do you see this? Could this possibly end up in a situation where he says, check, please, and I maybe want to go somewhere else?
Well, I think that was going to happen or had happened or whatever, if the status quo stayed in effect. But this is a new lease on life for Tyson Barrie. I mean, you know, we haven't played a game yet under Sheldon Keefe, and Tyson Barrie's already on the first power play. So there's a, you know, Sheldon Keefe is trying to salvage the Leafs season behind the bench, but he's also trying to salvage the Nazem Kadri trade by getting some meaningful contribution from Tyson Barrie. And I'm not blaming Mike Babcock entirely for Tyson Barrie's inadequacies in the season. That's on Tyson Barrie, a good chunk of it. But, I mean, you come to a team, and historically, you got 25 of your 59 points on the power play last year, and you were first power play guy in Colorado, and you come in, and right away, you're second power play. He's not a defensive stalwart. They knew when they got him he wasn't a defensive stalwart, but they wanted to play an up-tempo offensive puck-moving game, and he plays to that strength. So let's see now. This is a huge new lease on life for him. So it's either going to go well or it's not. But if it doesn't go well now, it won't be from lack of opportunity, which Barrie might have cited by saying, hey, I'm a power play specialist and you're not letting me specialize.
Yeah, and I understand that. I am curious to see that tonight with Riley and Barrie on the power play. Sounds like Johnsson might kill some penalties, or they're looking into that potentially. But
well, there has to be some rollover trust from guys from the Marlies, like that. That, you know, Sheldon Keefe has a relationship, by, I think, with 11 of them.
Yeah, fair amount.
Can we count that, including Kaskisuo?
Yeah, well, he's got, especially Johnsson, Kapanen, Nylander. You know, he had these guys for, he didn't have these guys for a handful of games. You know, so, you know, and those are three of your top seven guys, maybe. At forward, so there's obviously some familiarity there.
There's always one guy though.
That, oh yeah, somebody's coming.
Falls
up
by the wayside. Like that's, I keep trying to think, like, because we're talking about Barrie getting the bump and
Peter,
you know,
Zezel, God bless his soul. Like, he followed Keenan around, and he was wherever Keenan went. Yeah, Peter Zezel.
Well, I mean, you go, you know, Stefan Matteau had a job for life wherever Mike Keenan went. But what I'm talking about is, I think there could be, you know, speaking out of turn, but maybe a Zach Hyman who's so trusted by Babcock, and so, like, maybe Sheldon Keefe says, I want you a little farther down in that lineup.
Right.
That's what I keep thinking.
Like, Timoshov is not playing tonight.
Right.
And it makes you wonder if you're like, I was on that call there. You see that ring you got?
Yeah.
Sheldon?
Yeah.
I was on that team.
Well,
and who are you playing instead of?
It's the NHL. It's not the AHL.
Of course. No, he can't be loyal to the Marlies.
He's Can you imagine Freddie the Goat first line with Austin Matthews on the left wing, Tavares on the right?
I want to see that.
Keep in mind, too, the other decision on the fourth line is that Patan's in.
Right.
In ahead of Timoshov, he's in ahead of Shore. You know, Shore might be that casualty of a guy who, you know, is, you know, who, quite frankly, Mike Babcock had him ahead of Spezza, ahead of Patan, ahead of Timoshov, ahead of all those guys. Shore's been one of the more consistent fourth line players for Mike Babcock. And the first night that Sheldon Keefe is the coach, Patan's on the fourth line, and we'll see what comes of that. But you know, everything's. Don't read too much into one game, and we'll see what happens on Saturday against Colorado and next Wednesday against Detroit and there may still be a rotation going on here at the bottom half of the lineup. But it's also interesting to me, and I don't know whether it's because of Kerfoot's injury or not. Maybe he's not 100%. I'm sure he's not 100%, especially conditioning-wise after an injury like the one that he suffered. But it seems like they've got Spezza penciled in at the center position on the third line, and maybe that's just a cosmetic thing. That once the game starts, he and Kerfoot are interchangeable parts out there, depending on which side of the ice the faceoff's on, depending on whether it's the defensive assignment, who's the first guy back, who's going to take the down low responsibility. But it seems interesting to me that Spezza, coming off, and keep in mind, he scored in back-to-back games. So, you know, maybe you want to ride that Jason Spezza pony right now, because he's a little hot offensively, and put him in his natural position on the third line with two really good players, Kerfoot and Kapanen.
How did you and LeBron get the Montreal assignment? What are you guys doing out there?
LeBron was here for some RDS responsibilities, and he was at the Hab game last night. I'm just here doing some grifting in the form of a speaking engagement on Friday.
Oh, very nice.
Nice.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like
not a bad spot.
We're watching your hit. It sounds like Babcock still owed some money.
Yes, indeedy. In fact, Veer, on Insider Trading, Veer made the point that Sheldon Keith has a contract for 3 years, this year and two more. Mike Babcock is going to be paid by the Leafs for the rest of this year plus three more. So Babcock's contract is actually with the Leafs is actually longer than Keith's contract. And we don't know exactly what Keith's number is, what he's making, but I can assure you that it's not the $6.25 million average or the $5.785, whatever it is, $5.8 million he's owed in each of the next 3 years. So $20 million owed Babcock from now until the end of the contract.
Not bad. I'd disappear. I just
would you go home?
I'd never
sit,
coach
sit on your couch for $20 million.
I'd open my casino again. I could bank it.
He's gonna ski, hunt, fish,
yeah,
and drink
and enjoy life.
Maybe watch the Leaf game tonight.
I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily count on that.
No, I wouldn't either. All right, Bob. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider.